Father, we thank you that, God, when you open a door of opportunity for anyone among us, God, to be a blessing to others. And so this is a time wherein we would like to remember some of our brethren, Lord God, who are visiting families, relatives, oh God, and friends. Lord, we ask and we remember the Cristobal and the Deasons, Lord God, while they're in Vegas ministering to their loved ones, Lord. We thank you for the anointing of your Spirit upon them. That, Father God, you are raising us up, Lord God, that anointing is for service, God, that the power of your Spirit flow through them. That, God, in Jesus' name, they would be your mouthpiece, and as they lay hands on that sick relative, oh God, that, Lord, your healing power would manifest. We thank you, Father God, even for Sister Emma, Lord God, as she visits relatives in San Francisco. We ask for your anointing, same anointing to be upon her, Lord God, and that you would bring them back home safely to us, oh God. And so, Lord, we thank you for this family of God, that, Lord, today we honor you and we remember you because, God, this time is so precious to us. As we turn to you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that you're going to speak to our hearts, oh God, that you're going to build up our faith, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, as you build up our faith, that you would use us, oh God, to be a blessing to many who are struggling in their walk with you. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me put back my sweater. It's getting cold. Are you cold? Who turned that on so high? Okay, all right. Later we can go outside and get thawed under the sun. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, how many of us believe that there's power in the name of our Lord?
Yes.
See, when the Bible tells us to remember the Lord, how important is a name? You know, probably that's a question. How important is a name to you and me? You know, we are identified through the name given to us. So let's say in a huge crowd and they would say, Kay, in the midst of that, you are calling out a specific person and that name, she's identified by that name. For us believers, one of the names that we should remember of our Lord Jesus is found in Hebrews. Let's turn there. Just a part. In Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us, 12 verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author. And on the NIV version that I have right now, he is the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's pause there. So there's a call for us to fix our eyes on whom? On the Lord Jesus. Fix our eyes. Why? Because there would be so many things happening around us that there's such a need for us to fix our eyes on Jesus himself. How does the Word of God describe Jesus? Number one, author, meaning to say it starts with him. The faith that you and I have, it didn't start from us. It started with him. So he's the author. And I love the connecting word, perfecter. Mother? Finisher. Thank you, Mom. He's the perfecter and finisher of our faith. See, because the previous chapter, Hebrews 11, remember, so many names were mentioned. Right? Are you with me? Hebrews. And so we would know, like Abraham, Jesus was the perfecter of his faith. He is called the father of many nations now. But you know what? Was his faith perfect at the start? No, not at all. There was a time he even lied. He lied about Sarah, the wife, when they were in Egypt because he was afraid. He said, no, she's my sister. Right? So he was guilty of lying, right? Noah, he was into alcohol. So he wasn't perfect. So many. David, was he perfect? Not at all. He committed adultery, and he even had the husband of Bathsheba killed in the battle. So meaning to say, they all started with weaknesses, and yet, their names are written in the hall of faith. Why? Because of Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. we started with that because it's so important for us to remember what this is all about. You know, when we came into worship today, at times even the songs that you and I led to sing together, it's a declaration of what we believe. There would be times wherein, in our Bible study, we talked about how important is praise to God. It pleases God. We magnify God. We put the spotlight on God. We magnify Him and not the problems. Because faith, Jesus said in His word, in Hebrews, it says, what pleases God? Without faith, in a negative way, it was stated, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it's faith that touches the heart of God. When you and I pray, the question is, would our prayers change if we really believe that God is more than able? I want us to really think about that question. How would your prayer change now if you truly believe that everything that God says in the Bible is true? Our brother Roel shared, our elders would share about giving, that area of our spiritual lives, even in giving. How many of us would truly believe that, God, if I give my tithes and offering, that you would open? How many of us really believe that? That would change us even in our giving. I was just talking to some of our brethren this morning, and I said, you know what? I struggled too in that area before I came to know the Lord. But when I obeyed, oh my goodness, oh my, OMG, OMG. I shared that several times here in the pulpit, how at one time how we have tested and proven that God is faithful. When we sold the first house that my mom and I owned, in 5 years, $250,000 in profit. In my mind, Lord, I could never have saved that on my own. $50,000 a year within 5 years. And He blessed us to have another dwelling, a place wherein, oh my goodness, He already saw what lies ahead, because He already saw that I will be in this position, and then the house of God is so close to our home. On my phone app, before I leave the house, something would pop, and it would tell me how long the destination would take me. It popped up, 3 minutes to 1210 East to 23rd. 3 minutes from my house to get here. Because God is a rewarder of faithfulness. Amen. For so many years serving God, when we used to live in Azusa in Walnut, that was about, 35 miles one way, back and forth. And we would have elders meeting Tuesday night. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and there would be at times Saturday in a workers meeting, and then Sunday, 6. And so my mechanic would say, every time I would bring my car for an oil change, it's like less than a month, I'm already, what do you do for a living anyway? How do you put on so many miles on your car? It's like, it's a long story. But I'm sharing that with you because God is faithful. Totoo ho siya. When He says something, He will do it. He will do it. So let's believe. So let's believe. And so I started with that because our study today is in the book of Habakkuk. Where is Habakkuk? Very good. Old Testament. So okay. Search for it in your Bible. Praise God. There are only 3 chapters in this short book. Do you know that every part of the Bible is important? Whether found in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, because everything points to Jesus. Okay, all right, Habakkuk. You know, the word why, W-H-Y, why. Life is filled with so many questions. Is that true? Yeah. For some of you young parents with young kids, your child has so many endless why, Why? It's, at times they're not satisfied with your answers, right? It's like, why, right? And but even for those of us who are older now, our life can still be filled with so many whys. Why God? Lord, why did you allow this? And so others, you know, how when they would have questions like that, some might be unanswered for quite a while. And it could be questions that they are trying to search for an answer that would satisfy their not just curiosity, but a nagging question as far more so when it pertains to the ways of God, the timing of God, and the promises of God. Some would probably choose to leave with, you know, the doubts. Let's say if it's unanswered, it's like, forget it. And they would just ignore it. Others become cynical and hardened. What does that mean? You know, I met someone. She said, I used to be a Christian, but I'm no longer a Christian. Why? What happened? And, you know, she said that I had a child, and that child passed away, and she could not connect the dots as far as why would a loving God take my child from me? And so it's sad when that would be the direction of anyone with a question and it's left unanswered. But here is a man, and his name is this prophet Habakkuk. He was a man who was observing many things happening around him, and he had so many questions. And he was troubled at the start. So if you read, for the sake of time, we cannot read those three chapters today. But can I give you an assignment, please? If I give you an assignment, do you do it?
Yes.
Okay. Please read it. Only three chapters. It wouldn't take that long. And so here was someone, he was troubled. But one thing, the good thing that we can imitate in his life was he had questions, but he brought his concerns directly to whom? To God. So if you and I would encounter so many whys in our lives, because Habakkuk saw a dying world and it broke his heart. He saw many injustices, and he, in his mind, it's like, you're God. You see all of this corruption and violence and wickedness. So at first, he thought that God was passive. Lord, aren't you God that can do anything? Right? And at times, we have that too. And it's like, God, you're an awesome God. Why are you allowing this sickness to ravage the body of someone, or someone is left in that physical condition? Or you see someone in an emotional condition, in the mind. Can I say this? That, you know, it was mentioned last Sunday. We need to guard our hearts and our minds. Because what you and I, the thoughts that would rule this mind of ours would affect our behavior. Right. Let's say if I'm overwhelmed with fear. Let me give you an example to make it really, I'll take it from my experience. When I was in that condition and I would have to use a walker for my mobility, one of my fear was, what would people say when I go back to work? If I had allowed that fear to rule me, then I would just stay home and be a hermit. I would just be, I don't want to be seen by anyone, right? Fear can paralyze you and me. When there would be things that you and I need to do, that's why in all the scriptures, haven't you noticed that God would always say, do not be afraid. Do not fear. I am with you. So if a question is raised today, what are you fearful about? You don't have to answer that aloud, but God knows what's in your heart and in your mind. Whether you are a parent, a grandparent, you have concerns over the future of your children, grandchildren, give it to the all-knowing God. And come to think of it, whether you're someone who is like so rich, that rich person does not even know what's going to happen to him tomorrow, right?
Right.
Exactly. So because there is a lie that the enemy is putting in the hearts and minds of people that they, Satan would say, your security is in the how much money you have in your bank. I'm not saying that there would be times that you and I need to save up for the rainy days. God gave that wisdom to Joseph in the days of when God made known that there will be severe drought and famine. He gave Joseph the wisdom to save up during times of plenty. So there's a balance in all of this, right? And so when there would be nagging things about our financial condition, whether morality issues and all that, we have a God. One of the main theme of this story in the book of Habakkuk is God's sovereignty. God is in control. When Habakkuk asked God why, he even used the Babylonians to punish his own people. So here's the thing. One of the first thing that he did was he brought his troubles to whom?
God.
To God. So that's one of the lessons. When you have, we're faced with troubles, we give them to God. Now, after receiving the answers of God, he responded with a prayer of faith. So his example is one that we should follow from doubt to faith. Follow? Some might be afraid to say, oh, why are you questioning God? See, there's a difference between the why from a non-believer with the why of a believer. You know, an unbeliever will never be satisfied. They would even question the answers as to why. They would even question the existence of God himself. If there's a God, why all of this pain and suffering? But with someone who has this relationship, personal and intimate relationship with God, that why would lead that person to search for God more. We seek and we seek diligently, because the promise is when you and I seek the Lord with all of our hearts, you and I will find him. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there's a difference, right? And so he experienced that. He experienced that from a moment of, Lord, why all of this, God? Why are you not doing anything, God? But then God revealed himself. Do you know that God has his... I think the problem is not with God and his ways and his timing, but the problem is with our limited understanding. Number one, we have to accept that the way we think is limited, right? We have to understand that. But God, who is the all-knowing God, he knows everything. He knows what's best for you and me. He knows, some of you parents here, he knows you love your children so much that most of the times it's like, you know, you're like a mother hen. That you would like to, like, oh, I want my baby chicks under my wings. That's a beautiful picture in the book of Psalms. That's why it says, Lord, I take shelter under your wings. Whoa, that's beautiful. That's a picture of God, like, covering, hovering upon us. But we know that for us, we don't have control over so many things, right? And so when your children, young parents, you might be controlling them right now. But, you know, I would hear that from a lot of young parents. It's like, my child is only 4 years old, but you know what? She even says, before I could, like, just put on an outfit. But now it's like, I don't want to wear that. I want this. Young as they are, it's like, oh, my gosh. It's like you cannot control everything, right? So even when they go to school now, you don't have control over what happens while they're in school. But remember, God is in control. That's where praying comes. That's where trusting God comes. Lord, I might not be with them 24 hours a day, but God, I thank you that, Lord, you are the refuge of my son, of my daughter, my grandchildren. Amen? Prayer. It's prayer. Faith in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the problem is what? It lies because of our own limited understanding, because we don't understand His ways. And so, example in this story is, why? When Habakkuk was questioning the Lord, and look at the reply. Look at the reply of God in verse 5 of chapter 1. Are you there with me in Habakkuk? Did you find it in your Bible?
Yeah.
If you don't have that, change your Bible. Habakkuk should be part of the Word of God. Habakkuk. And, you know, so his questions, he started, Lord, how long? How long, Lord, must I call for help? How many of you at times say that to God? Lord, how long shall I wait for the answer to my prayer? Right? Then he says, violence, but you do not save, right? Look at this. Now, and then there's the law. The law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. But look at verse 5. Look at what the Lord says. Look at the nations and watch. And be what? Utterly amazed or astounded. Why? Because, look at this. When circumstances around us become unbearable, there's a tendency, the temptation is for us to think that God has forgotten. Not at all. In fact, the Bible tells us that you and I are inscribed in the palm of His hands. Some people, over all this billion of people, He's inscribed me in the palm of His hand. How is that possible? And I would always use this as an example. Where's Sister Cherry? She's in Sunday school. Who are involved here in, you're an IT guy, IT lady. You know the things about computer. You know, you have this chip. At the office, you know, Sister Sally would ask for brother, how do you call that brother? The flash drive. I'm not into IT, so I don't know this terminology. It's like when someone talks to me about things of the computer, please talk to me in English. Flash drive, and they would say hotspots. What's a hotspot? I only know hot flashes. Hotspots. What? So a flash drive or gigabytes. See how one tiny, tiny gadget can store data, right? So can we question that, Lord, I am inscribing the palm of your hand? Of course not. God can store as much data as he can in his mind and in his palm because he's God. So when he says, I have not forgotten you, child. I'm here with you, right? So that gives us comfort to know that we are not alone and God is with us. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so God is amazing. We say, God, you're an awesome God. We just don't do it as a lip service. But God does wonderful things that it's like, wow, our jaws will drop. Amen. Hallelujah. But when we question the ways of God, so because the climate, you know what was happening right now when this was written by Habakkuk as inspired by the Spirit of God? There was lawlessness, and the people of God have forsaken the Lord. And one thing that we would see, of course, the graciousness of God. We talk about how amazing is His grace. We're here because of the grace of God. Do you know that?
Amen.
We're here that we can come into His presence. We need the presence of God. You and I need the presence of God. We need God in our families, not just in our individual lives. We need God in our homes. We need God for our schools, in our country. We need Him. And so when this was happening, and so Habakkuk was asking, Lord, why? Why are you not doing something? But he said, and the Lord answered him, I want you to look and see, because I'm going to do something utterly amazing. But his ways was different from what he was expecting. How many of us would remember times wherein we were praying to God and the answer came in a different way? Right? Because at times when you and I come to the Lord, in our minds, we're already like conjuring, or we're already thinking of how God would solve the problem.
Yeah.
So I'm not alone, huh? Yes. Okay. We're all guilty of that. And then God does something differently. Lord, is that you? At times, that might be our question because we don't seem to see the hand of God still. But when we look at it deeper and really, God, yes, now I see, now I understand. Remember, faith goes through stages. Started how? With the seed. Always remember that. God does always things in a seed form, S-E-E-D, binhi. It starts with the word of God planted in our hearts, and then that faith will continue to grow. Until, you know, until the life inside that seed sprouts, and that faith needs to be nurtured, right? Like a plant, it needs to be watered. And so that's why, even for a plant, that's why it's compared to a seed. And then until that seed becomes like, you know, a fruit-bearing tree, it would have, our faith would have fruits and it would manifest later on. Hallelujah. Because faith gives us the ability to see invisible things. Let me say that again. Remember the study last time, Hebrews 11? Faith is what? Say, faith is now having substance of things yet we do not yet see. But faith makes it so clear. That's why those people who are so filled with faith, and we're going to learn that next Sunday, the person now who's so filled with faith is already thanking God. Thanking God. Yet not yet seeing the results, but already thanking God. How is that possible? Faith. It's faith. And so here, the ways of God was to use the wicked nation of Babylon to attack Judah. And so some people would say, why would God allow pain and suffering in the lives of his people? Isn't that a very common question when we all go through troubles in our lives? Yes. But one thing we know, that God, his promise is that all things, Romans 8:28, he works all things together for good. For whom? For those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. How many of us would say that you love the Lord? How many of you believe that you were called by God according to his purpose? So that promise is for you and me. So what is it that's troubling you right now? Out of job? God is still working. He will turn that around for good. Sickness? God will turn that around for good. Broken relationships? God will turn that around for good. You have a rebellious son or daughter, God is not done. God is not done. That's why, look at this. He had so many questions. So that the entire chapter of Habakkuk 1 is about questions. Now, let's look at the one thing that he did was he turned to the Lord. Are you there with me in chapter 2? Same book, Habakkuk. Praise God. Chapter 2. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. So there was this him coming to the Lord, right? Isn't that wonderful? I will station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what God will say to me. Is there a value in waiting upon God? Most of us are familiar with Isaiah 40, right? The promise is that those who learn how to wait on the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles, right? And look at this. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. And here comes the reply. Here comes the reply. Then the Lord replied. Are you there? Verse 2. Write down the vision or the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Where does revelation come from? From the Spirit of God. He's the one who would give us understanding. So that's why when you and I are in a setting like this, we need to be prayerful. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, enlighten me. That's why there's a need for us to be focused on when you and I are reading the Word of God. Amen? Look at verse 3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. I love the following verse. Though it linger, wait for it. Let's say that again. Though it linger, wait for it. Because the Lord says, did you see that? It will surely come. It will certainly come and will not delay. So when there's a seemingly delay in God fulfilling His promise, God is telling us, wait for it. Wait for it. There's a reason for the seemingly delay. And He says, it will certainly come and will no longer delay. So look at verse 4. See, He is puffed up. His desires are not upright. Here we go. But the righteous shall live by faith. That's a call for us. For the righteous shall live by faith. Amen. Now, and then the other succeeding verses, it talks about woe to those and enumerates so many things that talks about, you know, the word woe, W-O-E. It's not someone said by, you know, riding a horse, whoa, 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 no. W-O-E, woe, it's a condition of deep suffering. It's a serious word. A pitiful condition. Tama po, Sister Lily. And it talks about how for those who have forsaken God, woe to those who trust in their own abilities and strength and their riches, woe to them. Now, verse 14 says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And it talks about, you know, the succeeding verses that talks about those who are engaged in idolatry. From verses, I think it's 18, starts with verse 18. See, idolatry is not just for those who bow down to images. Do you know that idolatry is, it's in trusting in one that a person has made for himself. If we say we worship God, but we put our trust in our money, in our homes, businesses, and organizations, then we are idolaters before the eyes of God. So we need to trust in God. Amen. Look at this. Woe to him, verse 19, who says to the wood, someone who carved an image made of wood, come to life or wake up. Can that wooden image even give guidance? Even if it's overlaid with gold and silver, are you there with me, 19? No, not at all. Because only God is a true living God. In verse 20, it says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Whoa. Isn't that, look, let all the earth silent before, why? Because when you and I are in the presence of God, we cannot just be, we are in awe. To be in awe of God. A-W-E. Amen. Now here comes chapter 3. I love chapter 3 because from doubt, now because he came to the Lord, he received the revelation from God. Amen. And so now here comes a prayer of faith. Lord, I have heard, verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. So he prayed. So when we are in trouble, the Bible tells us in James, is anyone among you suffering? Let him. How powerful and how important prayer is to all of us. Amen. It's a reminder for all of us, including myself. Look at verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time, make them known. Look at this. In wrath, remember mercy. One of the, you know, when you and I are, when we are reading the scriptures from Old Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, it talks about the nature and characteristic of God. We know that God is a loving God. He is a merciful God. But another nature and character of the Lord is He is just. He's fair and just in all of His ways. He is a holy God. So when we say that, you know, when we are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The holiness of God, so meaning to say, God cannot stand sin and he will deal with sin. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he sent Jesus. But there's a time wherein people are, the Lord is longing for people to put their hearts and their faith in his son, Jesus. Amen. Can I say this? We need to be careful with the so many teachings out there. If Jesus is not considered to be the Son of God, do not listen to that teaching. The acid test of true Christianity is how do we see Jesus? If he is just a prophet to some, is that what the Word of God teaches? No, not at all. He is God and became flesh, dwelt among us. Amen. We need to be patient with our children. That's why we have this huge project for our Sunday school department for that reason. Amen. But there's help. And we're so thankful for the so many volunteers that we have. Children are a blessing from God. They are not nuisance. So right now we are, I know that for some of you parents, it's tough for you. You want to listen and they're all over the place. But, we need to wait and see what God will do through our children. Amen? And so, but we need volunteers. We need your prayer. We need those who are physically able, amen, to help us out, really set up the place for our children. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's go back. And so here, in wrath, I love this. Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. We see that all the time. God's wrath. God's wrath was satisfied when Jesus died on the cross. But for those who choose not to believe, that's a different story. They would experience the wrath of God on Judgment Day. And so that's why when God is giving all of us an opportunity to make things right with God, we seize that opportunity. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen. Now, Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. Let this be our prayer for this nation, God. Lord, we have forsaken your ways, God. We're too proud even to pray and acknowledge you, God. Too proud. We think that we can be on our own. That as a nation, we are the superpower, the number one all over the world. To say that we did it on our own, it's like, oh, wow, that's not right. And so when all of these things are happening right before our eyes, we say, God, in your wrath, remember mercy, God. Let's begin to intercede for people. We were once lost, but, in his mercy and grace, he sought us out. And so as God is building up your faith and mine, there's so many more that needs to be won for Christ. So many more that needs to be restored back to his fold. And so God is still waiting. He's still waiting. We complain about waiting, but God, do you know that God is waiting too? He's waiting for so many to come back to him. Some were lured by, what this world would offer. And there's a tendency for us, like, we know that we are likened to a sheep that can go astray. We are like that. We have to see that, Lord, you're speaking to me that I'm a sheep, that I have a tendency to lose my way. But God, I remember that Jesus, you're my shepherd. I need to stay close to you. I need to stay close to you. Amen. In these difficult times that we are living in, perilous times, difficult times, when the Bible says evil, people who are evil will grow worse. Right. Can it be even worse than what we are seeing now? That's what the Bible says. But for us, followers of Christ, there's a call for us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we thank God for times like this that we can come together. When there would be times of doubt, we all go through that. Times of doubt, discouragement, we all go through that. You're not alone. But the good news is the Lord has not forsaken us. And so the value of being part of a family of God, a church wherein we can pray together. One of the things that I think the Lord would want to develop in all of us is the authenticity, sincerity, and vulnerability. What does that mean? At times, I don't want them to know what's going on in my life. No, I'd rather not go to church because they might question me. Oh, what happened to you? I don't know. Where is this? Where is your... But when you and I isolate ourselves, we become an easy prey. Can I say this? Isolation is never the answer to it. When troubles come, the more we come to God and the more we come to church. I understand there will be changes in our lives. At times when work, there's a pressing need in work. But when God sees your heart and mine, as far as God, I want to honor Sabbath, God. Lord, you know my schedule. Lord, you know my condition. God, you know my financial need. And when, you know, in Tagalog, they would say this, ano yun? Kumakapit sa patal. Ano yun, brother? When they say, when difficult times come, kumakapit sa patalim, they would hold on to things that they think that that's the way out. But then, you know, Jesus is the way, not only the way to the Father, but he would show us the way on how you and I would go about circumstances wherein it's like, God, what do I do? In the book of Psalms, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord for what he has done. In fact, it talks about a situation wherein people came into their wits' end. You know what that means? It's like, oh, God, Lord, I don't know what to do. Wits' end. Nothing. We don't see any solution. Wits' end. But God showed them the way. But God showed me the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God is alive. When the enemy would silence us, he would want to silence you and me. He wants us to shut up. He wants us, that's why he would want to steal your testimony and mine. What he has done in the past, let's remember those things. Because the faithfulness of God, he has been faithful in the past. Will he be the same today? What are you afraid of for tomorrow? God is still faithful for our tomorrow's needs, tomorrow's concerns. Amen. In our growing old, you know, how the beauty of how God speaks to us in so many ways. Whether in your phone. I remember one time, you know, I do bookkeeping work. And I was going through some copies of documents. And then I came across a copy of a check. Can you imagine of all things? And the person who wrote the check has verses from the Bible. And it's like, when I saw that verse, and the verse was what I needed for the day. The Word of God, the Bible tells us, it never returns to him void. What? It will never return to him void or empty. Because the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is filled with power. It has creative power. Hallelujah. When I would share testimonies to you, it's not just to tell you stories. It's to tell you what God has shown to me personally, that the Word of God is truth. Purified 7 times. That's what the Bible says. Very clear. Clean. Wholesome. Creative power. That's why when I shared with you that time, and one of the sisters was saying that also now. Psalm 112. Wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. So that's why my refinancing went well. Because of the Word of God. We speak the Word of God over our lives. Parents, you know, there's a promise in the book of Isaiah. It says, my children will be taught by the Lord himself. Woo! Isn't that a beautiful promise? Can you imagine? The Lord himself will be a teacher to your children and grandchildren. Amen. So there's so many promises from the Word of God that would serve like fuel in our praying and in our everyday life. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so from doubt to faith. And so look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. And I love this. I even highlighted this in my Bible. Are you still there with Habakkuk with me? Don't close your Bible. We're not done yet. Chapter 3, verse 6. He stood. Who stood? The Lord. He stood and shook the earth. I talk about power. He looked and made the nations tremble. Do you know how big God is? He's a big God. The earth is just his footstool. Tapakan lang ng paa niya. That's how big God is. Not just the physical sense of it, but of power. In Isaiah 40, it talks about the greatness of God. It says that the nations are just like a drop in the bucket. Nations, so when the ruler of Russia would say about his nuclear power and the leader of North Korea, I'm talking about their power, and they would just brag about it. No, we have a God. We have a God that is in control. And so look at this. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapse. Look at the last verse. Read it aloud. Read it aloud. His ways are everlasting. His ways are eternal. What does that mean? When God does something in your life and mine, it's not just a quick fix. Pain, we give it to God. He will do something with eternal value in the end. Let me give you an example. If God allowed the problem and the Lord used that, only used it to humble us, then what is the value of that? Priceless. You can't even put a tag when you and I learn the value of humility, humbling ourselves before God and being humble among others. Amen? And so when we say, God, you use that problem to humble me. God, I thank you for that valuable lesson. Lord, you use that lesson to teach me in the area of faith. God, forgive me. At times when I have problems, I turn to my friends. I turn to other people. I value more the opinion of others rather than what you would have to say to me. God, forgive me. Lord, now I come to you and I humble myself and I seek you, God. I seek you, Lord. Then God would speak as we seek him. Earnestly. Amen. Now, in all of this, let's jump to verse 16. Look at what happened to Habakkuk when he turned to the Lord. There was a revelation of the greatness of God and his concern, his loving concern for him and for the nation, for Judah. Verse 16, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Now here comes the declaration of faith. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls. Look at verse 18. I love the word, yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Verse 19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Hallelujah. From doubt to faith. And so we see here that the valuable lesson was when his questions were answered by God. So now he learned that he rejoiced in who God is and what God can do. So he realized that the Lord is the source of my joy and my strength. There's so many things that will rob us of our joy. But like Habakkuk, you know what? There was a shift of his way of thinking. He was at first consumed with the temporal things happening around him. But the moment he went to the Lord caused him. He had the change of perspective. And he saw that God is the source of his strength. And he realized that God is more than able to accomplish what concerns his people for his glory and for his name's sake. Amen. Let's thank the Lord because he's the creator, he's all-powerful, and God is a God of hope. Hope means going beyond our unpleasant daily experiences to the joy of knowing God. Let me say that again. So what does hoping in God mean? It means we go beyond our unpleasant daily experiences. What are you experiencing right now? that, you know, the joy of knowing God will far outweigh the difficult circumstances that you and I are going through. We live, the righteous shall live by faith. We live by trusting in Christ, not just for the benefits. Can I talk about, say something about benefits? See, some people, they love the benefits, but not the commitment. Let me say that again. It's like a guy dating a girl. Panay date lang, date. But never committing to the relationship. Because once the guy would commit and say, I'd like to marry you. Because marriage is commitment. So some would say, oh no, I like just the benefits of having a companion, the benefits of, oh, she's my girl. But never the commitment. And at times some Christians are like that, nominal Christians. It's okay to come to God with our needs. It's okay. He's not stopping us from coming to Him with our needs, whether it be a material need, an emotional need. But God would want us to see that He goes beyond that. There's a call in the Bible, in the book of Colossians, it says, set your minds not on the things here on earth, but on things above. As children of God, if you and I belong to the kingdom of God, there's a call for us to the things of God. To the things of God. Amen. And so let's just thank Him. Lord, let's thank Him for the measure of faith that God has blessed you and me. No matter how small it is, God is able to build up that faith. He's able to perfect that faith. Amen. But our hope comes from God alone. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bless the Lord. We bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. You are God, and there is none like you. We remember you that you are the God whose ways are eternal. You are the sovereign God. You are the creator of heaven and earth. And your word constantly reminds us that our help comes from you alone. Father God, forgive us when we have forgotten you, but we thank you that you have never forgotten us. We remember that you are the sovereign God and who's in control, not just of our personal situations, God, but even things that concern our families, things that concern this nation. When we are overwhelmed and there's so many questions in our minds, God, at times, you know that even before we say anything, you know it all. Nothing is hidden from your sight. Our hearts are naked and bare before your eyes. When we go through discouragement like Habakkuk, and we thank you for preserving this account that we can relate to what went on in the mind of this prophet. He saw violence. He saw wickedness. He saw evil. He remembered that, God, you are so holy that how can you not do anything? But we thank you that, Lord, oh God, that we know that it's the work of your Spirit in his mind and in his heart that led him, instead of from the complaints, it shifted to humbling himself before you. He came before your presence, oh God, and the change started to happen. You change his... We're going to pray, Paul. We're going to pray. That God, when he came to you in prayer, you changed his mind and his heart. And so, Lord, here we are. Just as we are, we come to you, Lord, and we are so thankful for the blood of Jesus. Gives us access before your throne of grace, Father God. And we are forever grateful for what Christ has done. That because you're the God of hope, Lord, you're calling us, Lord, not to dwell on all the negative things happening around us, but to remember you. Even, God, when we fail you, Lord, we offer to you the same prayer. In your wrath, remember mercy, God. Whether it be in our personal lives, God, in our family life, God. At times we're so desperate for a change, God, to happen, and Lord, times we say, Lord, how long? But you said to wait. Though it linger, wait for it. wait for the fulfillment of the promise, because what I have said, the Lord says, is saying to us, He will fulfill it. Lord, it takes true trust. And when that happens in our hearts, we find rest. Because some of us, Lord, we labor in our thinking. What will I do? Probably this is what I should do. There's a tendency for us to fix things ourselves. And when we get tired, and Lord, we reach dead ends, oh God, in this maze of life, God. We bump into so many dead ends, God. But we remember You, that Lord Jesus, You're the one that will open that door for us. We thank You that, Lord, we are led by Your Spirit. And one of the benefits of being a child of God is we are led by Your Holy Spirit. And so, Father God, may we remember that, Lord, You are our hope and our strength. So though we experience all of this pain, God, we remember that You are our joy giver. And that, Lord, as we put our hope and our trust in You, You will never disappoint those who do it, God. You will keep us in perfect peace as our minds are stayed on You. So, Father God, we thank You, Lord, as we recognize Your presence right here in this place, oh God. We thank You for touching all of us, Lord. We thank You that the way You've built up the faith of the prophet, You're going to do that in the minds and hearts of everyone in this local church, God. That as You do that, Lord God, we pray that, Lord, may You use us to encourage others, God. And so, Father God, we thank You once more for this day. We thank You that You're the God of hope. We put our trust in You, Lord. We give You the highest praise that You deserve. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's all rise up, praise God. Glory to God. Let's be called on them. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord together. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Even before we sing that song, you know, we come to the Lord and we use this time. We come to God. We come to Him in prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me?
Praise God.
I was lost, but He brought me.
Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, His love. For me.
Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free. Sun sets free. In my Father's house,
there's a place.
There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Chosen, come on.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
You are for me.
You are for me.
Not against me.
Not against me. I am who you say I am.
I am chosen,
not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
You are for me.
You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
I am chosen, come on.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
Oh, I am who you say I am. Yes, I am.
Say I am. Who the sun sets free, always free indeed.
I'm a child.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
In my Father's house.
In my Father's house. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
One more time. Who the sun sets free.
Who the sun sets free. Always free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
In my Father's house.
In my Father's house. There's a place. Child of God. Yes, I am.
One more time. In my Father's house.
In my Father's house. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Father, we thank you that we can say that with confidence and certainty, that for us who have accepted your Son, Jesus, that we could say that I'm a child of God. And we thank you, Lord, O God, for the blessings you are bestowing upon everyone among your people right here in this church, God, that you would cause your face to shine upon us, our children, that you be gracious to us and cause your light to shine upon us, and that you would bless us in ways that would be so amazing for all of us in spirit, soul, and body, God. We thank you for your hedge of protection upon us, upon our children, upon our young people, God. We thank you that, Lord, as we turn to you today, the benefits of knowing you, God, that, Lord, our hearts are filled with joy in knowing that, God, you love us so much, that you're here for us, oh God, that you have not forsaken us, and that you are for us, not against us, oh God. Amen. We thank you for the wisdom that you are giving your people, oh God, to know what to do when times when we don't know what to do, that we turn to you, that you would light our path, God, that your word will be our guide through your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding and revelation that builds up our faith, God. We thank you even for our time together, the assembling of the saints, God. What a precious time and precious moments these are for us. That, Lord, oh God, we're here to pray for one another and encourage one another, God. And that, Lord, even as we partake the meal together, we thank you that, Lord, all of these blessings come from you alone. In the days coming, oh God, that your presence be in our midst, your hedge of protection, oh God. We give you the highest praise that you alone deserve. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.